Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
The fear is palpable.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's actually an index on Wall Street that measures fear. It's called the VIX. When the VIX goes up, it means investors are more worried about the economy or where the market is headed. Yesterday, the index climbed 9%. Tech stocks are getting hit especially hard right now. Shares of E-Trade plummeted 60%. Analysts say there's a small risk of bankruptcy. So the NASDAQ starts the day at 2584 after losing 43 points. The Dow is below 13,000 for the first time since early August. It's at 12,987 after dropping 55. The S&P 500 fell 14 points to 1439. Today's a big day for the satellite radio business. Shareholders of XM and Sirius vote on a merger. It sounds like a done deal, but the government's opinion is another story. Here's Lisa Napoli.
The Federal Trade Commission said last week it's okay with the XM-Sirius deal. Whether the Federal Communications Commission will agree still isn't clear. They've asked both companies to submit more details by the end of this week. Ever since XM and Sirius said last February they wanted to get hitched, there's been brouhaha over whether a merger would hurt consumers. McVeigh media analyst Holland Cook says now it's looking better for the deal.
The momentum seems to have shifted in its favor, notwithstanding Herculean efforts by the National Association of Broadcasters to put the stink on it.
Cook says that's because Sirius has promised to offer a la carte subscriptions. He says there's another reason the FCC will probably say yes.
Government regulators historically have always been kind to pioneers.
We should know if that's true by the end of the year. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
News writers at CBS could go on strike with the Hollywood crowd. About 500 union writers at CBS will vote Thursday whether to join the Writers Guild picket lines. They've been working under a contract that expired in the spring of 2005.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. By Siemens, from generators that power cities to light bulbs for homes, from factory automation to medical diagnostics, Siemens 70,000 U.S. employees providing solutions for America. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Attention shoppers, welcome to the grand opening.
We turn now to Consumed, a special series airing this week on American Public Media programs. Consumer spending is the lifeblood of our economy, but it can also be a poison pill for the environment and perhaps our own health. All those things that we make and ship and buy, will they eventually bury us? Or can we keep consuming like this if we innovate? Larry Goulder has been researching that question. He's a professor of environmental economics at Stanford. I asked him, is our consumer economy sustainable in the long run?
I'd like to say yes or no, but I think I'd have to say maybe.
Maybe. Why? Why would you say maybe?
Well, I guess I'll start with the pessimistic side, which is, as your series indicates, there's a lot that we in the U.S. are doing through our consumption to deplete natural resources. All of that is very worrisome. The positive side is that if we invest sufficiently in other forms of capital, like human capital, or in man-made capital, such as buildings or equipment and machines, it's possible that that kind of investment can compensate for the loss of environmental capital.
All right, you're going to have to explain that one to me. I don't understand how if we build more buildings, we make more machines, and we invest in human capital, how that is going to save the environment.
Well, it takes know-how, and it also takes a kind of substitution. I'll give you a couple of examples. If we invest in, say, equipment that provides for better irrigation methods, then we can produce food with less water input and thus economize on water resource use. Similarly, on the consumer level, we can invest in ways that enable consumers to substitute among products. And an example would be if we develop technologies and manufacturing capacity to produce cars that require less gasoline, like hybrids or a fuel cell automobile, then consumers can substitute for those kinds of cars and put less demands on the environment.
How much of a leap of faith is it for us to assume that we can keep up with the innovation that will protect our resources?
Yes. What we've seen in recent history is that innovation has tended to keep pace with the dwindling of natural resources, so that in many countries, standards of living have been able to be maintained. As we look to the future, I should acknowledge that there's considerable disagreement among researchers, particularly between many economists and many ecologists, as to what the prospects are for the future. Economists tend to be a lot more optimistic in terms of substitution possibilities and the potential for innovation and new knowledge to compensate for the loss of natural resources.
Larry, after doing all this research, what about your own consumption patterns?
Well, my daughters have encouraged me to get a bigger car, but I've so far held firm. My wife has encouraged me to get some outdoor heaters so we can sit out on the porch when the temperature is very cold and still be warm. And I'm vehemently opposed to that. But on the other hand, as part of my work, I spend a lot of time traveling and have a fairly big ecological footprint. I try to justify that on the grounds that this is a necessary evil and for the sake of a better good of trying to improve the environment through my work.
Larry Goulder, he studies environment and economics at Stanford University. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We invite you to chime in, respond, debate, and vote on the consumer's dilemma. You can do that on our website, marketplace.org. Tomorrow on Consumed, are people shopping for happiness?
In China, income has tripled over the last 15 or 20 years, and life satisfaction seems to have declined.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.